Well, let's stand for the reading of God's word this morning from Numbers 13. Got an interesting word for you. Numbers 13. The Lord now said to Moses, "Send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I'm giving to the Israelites. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes." So the designation, backstory, they've come out of Egyptian bondage, over 400 years of slavery. They've trekked through the wilderness for several weeks. They've come to the point where God says, "The promise I want to fulfill for you is just ahead of you in the promised land." So Moses and a representative from each of the 12 tribes, and send them over, let them scout out the land, see what they're looking at, and get ready to go in and start taking one city after the other. So that's what God had planned for Israel at that time. Father, thank you. Your word tells us to think on things of good report and good things. So help us by renewing our minds today. Remove doubts and fears and that spirit of unbelief that seems to always want to attack us, especially in moments when we're having difficulties and struggle. So we thank you for victory in the house today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm excited about God's word and the services today. I kind of feel like a mosquito landing on a fat man, you know? I've got so much to deal with, I hardly know where to start. So here's where we're going to go. But the people living there are powerful. This is the report they got back. The people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Wow. Okay, but Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. "Let's go at once and take the land," he said. "We can certainly conquer it." So you've got a majority report and a minority report. And in biblical perspective, just remember this, the majority is not always correct. Not always correct. They were far off the mark, 10 out of the 12. You will never remember their names. You don't know who they were, those 10 representatives, because even though they're listed in Scripture, they became insignificant in biblical history in the sense of making any good impact on the nation. But you do remember the two in the minority report. They're never forgotten. So I want to speak to you today about the opposite of a spirit of gratitude, because I've spoken to you about how important it is that we enter into the presence of God with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, and we're grateful to him. And God reminds us time and again that we should be thankful and grateful, full of hearts of thanksgiving. But there's a spirit of negativism in our culture today, everywhere you turn. And sometimes that's infiltrated even the church, because people in the body of Christ have also allowed that spirit of negativism. And the world is turned off to Jesus when his representatives are negative in their perspective. A spirit of negativism will stop you, paralyze you, keep you from your promised land. How many want all God's promised you? Well, man, we've got to get our perspective right. So many people today were raised in negative environments in their families, and they perpetuated that spirit of negativism then in their own families into the next generation, and it becomes generational sin. They were taught to look at life from the negative point of view, from how terrible and difficult and much of a struggle everything is. Taught to always look at the worst case scenario. For instance, they've gotten so far out on that limb, if they have a stomach ache, a voice in their own mindset will begin to say, "It's probably cancer." Yeah. If you've got an ingrown toenail, the voice will say, "You will be limping for the rest of your life. You won't be able to walk." And we escalate every minor thing into a major thing when we come from a negative perspective. And people become overwhelmed with pessimism. We as the church are not supposed to be pessimistic and defeated and filled with hopelessness and negativism. The church has the great message of hope beyond all entities on this planet. There is no greater message of hope than what the church carries. And I'm not just speaking about getting a positive attitude or just speaking about mentally picking yourself up and looking at things from a different perspective. There's a spirit, I believe a demonic spirit of negativism that desires to attach itself to your life and your family. And if you don't learn how to resist that, it will attack and attach and prevent you from reaching all that God has planned for you in your promised land. The word says that the first thing that Moses did, he sends out 12 spies. The first thing that God spoke through Moses for them to do is, I want you to make an accurate assessment of what the promised land looks like and what the people are like. So when I speak about not being negative, I'm not speaking about being in a state of denial. I'm not speaking about going through life with an attitude that doesn't see reality and ignores the elephant in the room. That's not what I'm speaking about. In our walk with God, we all need to live in victory and keep fighting that spirit of negativity and say, Lord, I believe what you told me, and I refuse to acquire a negative mindset. So the thing that God told the spies, go check out the land that I've made promise to you. And God never mentioned the giants, and God never mentioned the walls, because to him they were not relevant. But when the spies entered the promised land, that's what they began to look at. Immediately they began to look at the walls around the cities. They began to look at the giants that roamed around. And here's what God told them before they entered in. He said, be of good courage. Come on, help me preach here today. Tell somebody, be of good courage. And here's what the Holy Spirit spoke into my heart. Even before they were to gather the information, God told them, be of good courage. So before you go in there and face the challenge, I want you to be of good courage. Take the perspective that I have. I want you to get on my side of the point of view. In other words, he said, I don't want you to approach the promised land with a negative perspective and a spirit of fear. So whatever you're stepping into, perhaps you're trying to expand business. Perhaps you're trying to stretch and reach a place and a goal that you've never acquired before. Perhaps you're trying to get to your destiny or reaching for that dream or stretching open that business to rebuild your marriage. You're trying your best to get into your promised land. Right now, God's word to you is this. You need to be filled up with courage. The courage I give you, because with God, all things are possible. And you're never to approach the situation acquiring a spirit of fear, negativism, pessimism, defeatism, because that's never the voice of God. And you have to recognize that is not God when that spirit begins to attack my mind. The Holy Spirit is attempting to move Calvary Christian Center into its destiny, and the enemy fights that destiny. He's not going to roll over, just get out of the way, because we're heading for the promised land. Remember, principalities use personalities, and he will use people, even in the church, to halt the church's destiny. Notice some of the things about this story. When the spies returned to the camp of Israel, they began to talk. They began to say things like, the land is devouring the inhabitants. I've never seen land eat people, have you? I mean, they talk about exaggerators and building mountains out of molehills. Okay, they begin to say things that God called, this is evil of you, speaking like this. And they said, we are as grasshoppers compared to all the giants we saw in the land. Anytime you compare yourself to an insect, you've got a negative spirit. The negative spirit comes to paralyze and prevent you from getting into your promised land. And the word says that when they started talking that negative poison, it melted the hearts of the people of God. It began to spread. It's contagious. It's not good. It's bad when that starts. And here are the facts about the spirit of negativity. First of all, anytime people are driven by a negative spirit, they don't need sympathy. They need correction. You don't understand why I feel the way I feel. The problem is feelings. Feelings go all over the map. And they can change in moments. You can be in just moments. Feelings. We can't live by feelings. We have to learn The scripture says control of our feelings. And the control that we apply to feelings are the truths of what God says in his word. It's not how I feel, it's what you say that counts. Well, leave me alone. I have a right to be depressed. I have a right to be negative. I have a right to give up. I have a right to feel like throwing in the towel. Well, maybe you have circumstances that have pushed you to that point. However, the scripture is very clear here that we need loving correction when we reach that place. Now, here's the problem. You don't have a right to feel that way. Understand that others can sympathize with you all the way to bankruptcy court. People can understand you all the way to your grave. People who are negative don't need understanding and sympathy. It just spreads the poison. They need loving correction, and they need adjustment, attitude adjustment. It will never help you to just continue unchecked in negativism. You're going to get worse. It's a condition that worsens. And if anything, this story teaches us that God will let you die with a spirit of negativism before he'll allow you to walk into your promised land. And I propose to you, they had no right to get negative. Think about what God had done for them up to this point. Think about how he delivered them out of Egyptian slavery after nearly 400 years with 10 mighty plagues. Think about how God fed them in the wilderness and swallowed up all of the army of Pharaoh, the most powerful army of the day. Think about how God watered 3 million of them and all their herds. They had no right to be negative. Calvary, we've got no right to be negative. Look at all that God has done in our lives. But what happens in people's hearts, they get this negative attitude. Look at the blessings we have. Look at how privileged we are. Look at who we are in this world and in this culture. And it attacks, listen, that negative spirit attaches itself. And people then get cocooned in their little bubble of negativism, and they begin to feed that spirit and begin to give it more strength. And as they begin to feed it, everything in their lives begins to turn sour. It's not just a mental attitude. My experience in the church convinces me there's a spirit of negativism. It attacks the hearts and minds of people who are attempting to serve the Lord. And that spirit will attach itself to you when it hears you grumbling, complaining, murmuring, finding fault, criticizing, doing things that God says we as believers should not practice, and that's why you must resist that spirit. We live in a culture that's saturated, inundated with negativism. The news reports, even the movies. Remember we used to go to the movie to get picked up? You know what I mean? To see a story where there was some drama and some trouble in someone's life and a family's life. And then as it tracked along, all of a sudden, you know, there would be a turn, and the story would end with a victory for the good side, that good would triumph over evil, and people would go out of there with a lift and a boost and feel like, wow, there's always hope that even under the worst of conditions, good will triumph. You used to see that in some of the movies of years gone by. People would go in there to get a boost. But look at how the culture has gotten negative. In the movies, you can't go to feel lifted in most part. You can once in a while. You don't go to feel better. People are going and getting angered. And there's rage expressed on the screen. You see people getting blown up and body counts. And that's how they know if it's a successful movie. How many bodies can they count in the movie? And of course, the same people are in the news media always telling you that the violence in America needs to stop after they just put it on the screen for 2 hours, right? Hollywood has learned that money will come to a negative spirit. And that's why they keep creating these gory stories. Think of the entertainment industry. There used to be comedians like Tim Conway, clean. And they would tell stories and entertain you with everyday life experiences. And I mean, they made marriage funny and related to life. And then something happened in America's culture. It began around the time of Richard Pryor, some of his contemporaries, and people started paying to hear them become profane. And they came along, Jimmy Fallon, and it got more vulgar. And they've got nothing positive to say. They trash everybody and everything. There's very little line of respect for anybody. They attack leaders and people who have official positions, and filth is always implied somewhere. It's not about comedy. It's about crudeness, shock value. And of course, then we landed with the likes of Howard Stern, negativism, trash talk. Why? Because a negative spirit always wants to be fed. There's a negative spirit on the loose in our culture. Movies feed it, entertainers are feeding it. Think about the music industry. How in the world have we gotten where we are in secular music? Labels dedicated to promoting crime. Music filled with violence and death. Praising going to prison. Encouraging murder and rape. Using the crassest language imaginable. Negative. Where's that stuff coming from? It's a negative spirit in our culture that says, keep feeding me. And so I read an article about the artists wanting to obtain parental guidance stamps on their music and on their video games on purpose, warning parents that there's some language and some violence, because the artists have discovered if they get that designation, it causes their sales to increase. Not decrease, increase. Why is that? A spirit of negativism that says, feed me, keep feeding me. So it forms a cocoon and entraps people, and that's how they go about every single day, complaining, grumbling, full of rage, bad attitudes, doing things even in their vehicles that you go, where's that coming from? How you see life? Because what you're putting in and internalizing, it will externalize in time. Second, look at the political system, how negative that's turned. There's a spirit of negativism on the American political system. I thought about our elections, candidates who just get up and sling mud. I mean, here's the goal. We just want to defeat the incumbent. That's it. That's their goal, right? Candidates who sling mud, attack, lie. In fact, one of them admitted the other day, they said, yeah, that wasn't true. But all of us, it's our local congressman, by the way, he got on the air, national broadcast, said, when we get caught and we're talking and we're saying things and we're telling stories, they're not always accurate. And I'm saying, isn't that what we pay you to do? To give us the truth? To be accurate? To represent us properly? Come on, folks. What are we doing here? Destroying the character of the opponent for personal power. Someone told me years ago, he was a very wealthy guy in business, and he was sitting down giving some leadership lessons, and he says, here's the deal. I've made more money than I can spend. He said, and you know what goes beyond money in terms of people's desire? Is a lust for power. Once they make all kinds of money, that's not enough. Now they want all the power they can possibly accumulate. And you see that in some of the people running for office. They run for office and just simply trashing the opponent and make great speeches without saying anything. Listen to me. Making great speeches without saying anything. Making promises we all know it's impossible to keep. So what values are they living by is my question. What are their personal values? What about their character? Are they godless? Some of them are. They don't believe in God. Some do. Are they living morally or immorally? Are they for the death of the unborn at any stage? Because those are the issues that will shape how they govern should they ever get into power. Negative ads work. Why? Because we are a culture that says, give me the negative. Come on, give me more negative. And it creeps even into the body of Christ. Third, our media. You'll rarely go home and turn on the 6 o'clock news and hear a story about somebody doing some great thing. The husband who was faithful, who gathered together in the evening and they prayed as a family and gave thanks to God for protecting them. You don't see much of that. Once in a while, you get a little smattering at the very end of the newscast. You rarely turn on the evening news and see a positive report about a church making a difference in its community or in the lives of people in their world, or a report about a pastor and his church making a difference by doing some things to help in their community. But let the slightest scandal, someone making an accusation, even without firsthand knowledge, and all the negative imaginable goes into spewing out more poison and more negativity. Is this all simply coincidence? Or is it orchestrated? No, there's a spirit of negativism. And then there are the ridiculous talk shows. There's a reason The View was still on TV. Now, if you watch it, just hang on for a minute. Because people watch it. That's why it's still on TV. And my goodness, the stuff. You know, my wife will tell you, people watch that stuff. Mothers bringing their children on TV nationally, telling the nation, my child is transgender. There's a minor, okay? This is a minor. What's wrong with that parent? Born a male, but dressing like a female. And the host promoting their value systems on those talk shows. And then the audience, like a bunch of lemmings out there, cheer and clap. Oh, yeah, that's really great. What are you cheering and clapping for? Right? Opening your spirit to negative influences. Why do people watch that stuff? Watch it because there's a spirit that wants to be fed. And then the tabloids, the magazines that wait for you when you're checking out in the grocery store, buying your gallon of milk and some cereal, and there's this married star who's snuggling with some other woman who's not his wife, and then his excuse, well, I had too much to drink and I was confused, okay? Yeah, okay. Yeah, bam, when you're confused. And so, yeah. So in the survey states that 80% of the people who buy those tabloids don't believe they're telling the truth half the time. So why do people keep buying the trash? Why do they spend their money? Because people love negative information about the culture and about people, the good, the bad, true or false. Just give me some more information. And the whole force behind that, it's a demonic attack. We're living in a negative world. And here's what your enemy will do. The enemy knows he can't stop you from going into your promised land, what God promised you, unless he attacks you and attaches to you a negative spirit. Watch. You have to be careful with that negative spirit. It will manifest in us. Because what gets into the culture attempts to creep into the church. Does anybody know that church people can become negative? Does anybody know that? I know it'll shock you. You don't have to say amen. Do you know that church people can get negative? I call them cranktified saints. Have you ever met a cranktified saint? Just cranky, cantankerous. Sucking their teeth all the time, rolling their eyes. And some can't carry a tune in a bucket, but they come to church and all of a sudden they're music critics. Immediately, they're ready to go on American Idol. And if you're going to be a judge, at least have the spirit of Harry Connick Jr., right? Somewhat kind and when he makes a critique. But some come to church with the spirit of Simon Cowell on them. I can't stand that one. I don't like what you sang. Cranktified saint. Crabby, cranky people. Have you ever met a crabby person, right? When I used to go to the beach with my uncle, and we'd be trolling for soft-shell crabs, just about dusk, we'd go down to the seashore and with some string and some salt pork, and we'd draw them in one after another. When you get all those crabs in a basket, inevitably, you know, they get on top of each other, and one's trying to crawl to the top, trying to attempt to climb out. But you don't have to worry about them climbing out because there's always a crab back down there with a bad attitude, reaches up and pulls the one that's trying to crawl out back down. And if I'm not getting out, neither are you. And so we've met some crabby saints like that, right? Yeah. Watch the kind of people you hang around with. Be careful who you associate with. If you're the smartest person in the group, you need to get in a new group, right? Some don't want anybody else going up the ladder. Don't want anybody else succeeding. Don't want anybody else getting out. But let me say, I want to be around people who say like Caleb, we are well able. Let's do it. Let's do it for God's glory. Let's do it for his honor. Let's do it for his kingdom. The church needs to shake itself loose from a negative spirit and realize with Christ, all things are possible. We can achieve what he, not this negative attitude of I can't, I won't, I'm afraid, I can't be done, I don't want to do that. Negative spirit leads to gossip, and people love gossip. And, you know, we ignore that sin in the church. We make a big deal out of all kinds of other sins, but that's listed as a sin in the sight of God. Backbiting, fault finding, those are listed in the categories that God says, I don't like that in my body. Do you know that God told Moses, he said, I want you to choose leaders from the families and the tribes who will lead their families. And get the point, leaders are responsible to ensure that a negative spirit doesn't come on who whatever it is you've been assigned to lead. As a leader of your home, it's your responsibility to make sure a negative spirit doesn't get into your home and then get embedded into your family, because it will get into your children. And let me take another step. If you're leading in business or in a department, it's your responsibility as a leader to make certain that department does not permit a negative spirit. Negativity, negative talk to start infecting the people you're responsible to lead. Backbiting, criticizing, division. Division is made up of two words, die and vision. Two visions. Can't have two visions. There's got to be one singular vision. Finding fault. You have to watch out for that. As a leader at Calvary Christian Center, it's our responsibility, even as a volunteer, to guard that ministry we oversee from a negative spirit. And let me show you something. This will change your life if you'll stay with me right here. Let me tell you how a negative spirit operates. What happens is God makes a promise, gives you a dream, tells you this is attainable for you in your life. You can do this, and you know that you know. I mean, your spirit resonates. Yes. And once you make the decision, you're going to face a season of transition. Once you make the decision, I'm going in, there's going to be a season of transition. A negative spirit loves to attack in seasons of transition. Notice, they're coming out of the wilderness. They're about to transition into the promised land. And when you're in a seasonal transition, a negative spirit will attempt to attach itself to your life. It comes to try to talk you out of your destiny. It says, look at this. This is a bigger obstacle than you thought it was going to be. This is a steeper climb than you ever imagined. It comes to try to talk you out of your destiny. I think of transitional seasons. One transitional season when a negative spirit will attempt to grab hold of you is when you're single, and then you're about to get married. And then you do get married, and several months pass. And when you were first married, it's ideal. And then it becomes an ordeal. And sometimes later, you think you got a raw deal. And later on, you're thinking, I need a new deal, right? I'm amazed at how some people get married, and 6 months later, they question their own decision-making ability. I'm amazed how people get married, and then there's this transition. Yes, there's going to be transition. And the reason the enemy attacks in a seasonal transition is because you have a mental picture of what you think it's going to be like, and it's not realistic. See, Joseph had this mental picture of what it was going to be like. Eventually, it was like that, but between the moment he received it and the moment he acquired it, there were a lot of other realistic things that played in. Seven events that nearly knocked him off his feet, but he persisted to get to his goal. You see, it's the unrealistic appraisal of how you're going to get from where you are to where God promised you. That's what gets you in trouble. Your picture did not include the conflict. It doesn't demand any extra effort on your part. There's going to be work, and there's going to be sweat, and there's going to be stress, and you think you're going to cakewalk into your destiny. And here's the picture of marriage. He or she is perfect. Hair is never messed up. The breath is always sweet, always lovely, and have a great disposition. It's unrealistic. So in the transition of a negative spirit, you attempt to allow that. It begins to attach itself to you, and you have a picture in your mind of what you think marriage should look like, and you're driving home, and you can't wait to get home to your lovely wife, and you're going to pull into the driveway, and the lawn is manicured perfectly, little white picket fence on the border, children as quiet and as sweet as angels, not like the commercial where the lady opens the door and the place looks like it's totally chaotic. She goes back in her car, closes the door, locks them, turns on the music, says, leave me alone, right? So your wife is in the kitchen and she's making fried chicken and bacon cookies. And then reality, the unrealistic expectations, then reality speaks. You pull up and the grass is knee deep and you can't afford a lawnmower and the kids are dirty and they've got stuff strewn everywhere and your wife can't boil an egg. I mean, real life, but it's in this transition where the negative spirit will attach itself to you and slip right in, not waiting for both of you to adjust and to grow and to learn the art of marriage biblically. And that spirit will whisper, what are you doing? Why did you get married? You messed up. You need to quit. You need to walk away. And that's the spirit of the age. A negative spirit will attempt to prevent you from entering into your promised land. Don't allow that spirit to keep lying to you. I have people declare, well, God gave me that house, and thank God I was able to move into this nice place. 3 months later, they're complaining, I don't understand. My water heater broke down. Unrealistic expectation. Just because God gave you that house doesn't mean everything always works. If you don't watch it during that time, a negative spirit. Well, I paid my tithes. Why did the water heater fail? God's not your plumber. He's not going to stop running the universe to stick his finger into your hot water tank and ignite the burner. He's not going to do that. Come on, people. Unrealistic expectations. Some people receive their attack when they move from employed to unemployed. And you're praying for a new job. And then God opens this new opportunity. Then you've got this unrealistic expectation. Let me give you a clue. No one is hiring you because they want to have fellowship with you. No one hired you because they just want to bond with you. No one hired you because they care intimately about your family. No one hired you because they want you to go ahead and get that sofa that you've always had your eye on. They're hiring you to perform a specific task and to get that job done well. Some may wonder, well, why aren't they promoted? May I tell you why? I will. Because negativity, complaining, whining, always got something bad to say. There's always something you don't like, something you don't agree with. It's amazing to me. People who have skill sets in one specific area and almost zero in another are trying to tell the person over here who's been trained in their category how to do their job. I don't like the way you're doing it. Well, you know what? When you step in my shoes, maybe then you'll learn how to do this. There's something you don't like. Or if you acquire a negative spirit about your work, it will prevent you from entering your promised land. Some didn't like that. But I have more, okay? And I won't receive a negative reaction. I think about people moving from bondage of debt and believing for the land of blessing. People have unrealistic expectations. And there's another place the enemy will attack you, strike you while you're in a transition. When you're attempting to get from being in debt to blessing, here comes that spirit. And we'll make a statement like this. Well, I tried tithing for 3 weeks and nothing happened. Now, they didn't totally tithe 2 out of the 3 weeks. They gave an offering and called it a tithe. Not the same. Did you fully tithe? Did I answer the question? Okay. Why aren't the windows of heaven not pouring out blessing? Well, for 10 years, you were a credit card junkie. You charged everything your eyes got laid on, right? Come on, now you're going to pull the Holy Spirit slot machine expecting a debt-free by the end of the month. When it doesn't happen instantly, a negative spirit attacks you and says, there's nothing to this tithing thing. There's nothing to give in. I mean, there's nothing about that. And don't you give the preacher's just trying to get your money. Oh, it's tight, but it's right this morning, right? Let me clue you in on something. Just because you got saved doesn't mean they quit processing your credit card. The bill is coming in the mail. It will. And we've got to learn as believers to put God first, honor him, and then allow him to help us to learn how to budget with what he's left us to work with. And I don't care. You listen, the bill's coming in the mail. You can burn candles. You can put a statue of Mary facing the mailbox. You can anoint the box with oil. The bill's coming. I'm looking for one good amen in here this morning, right? Just one. Negative people. Let me preach a few more minutes, right? For you Pentecostals looking for a donut or lunch, listen, just a few more minutes. We're gonna shake off the spirit of negativism and be grateful and bless his name. We owe God thanksgiving. We owe God praise. We are breathing, we're here, we're functional because God gave us another day to live and to serve him and to do our best. Amen? What are you down about? What are you discouraged and downcast about? Shake that spirit of negativism out of your life. The negative spirit is always in search of fellowship, always wants to hang with other people like itself. Because when 10 out of the 12 spies came back with a negative spirit, they weren't content. They didn't like being isolated because they reasoned that a majority is somehow going to change God's mind. We're going to convince God that we're right and he's not. So they tried to get the whole nation negative with them because a negative spirit is always seeking out fellowship. Negative attracts. Negative people attract negative people. As positive people attract positive people. People blinded into thinking they're doing God a service by pointing out everybody else's faults will attract other people of the same kind. So when you're under a negative spirit, you become an expert at shooting down reasons why you ought to be happy today. When a negative person, or rather when a positive person comes around, you get a shotgun ready to shoot them down. No. Negative people don't like positive people because positive people keep trying to influence them to become grateful people, people of thanksgiving. They don't want to be grateful, and they've got good reasons why they don't want to be grateful. They will defend their dysfunction. They will defend their depression. They will defend the opposition. I have a right to be misguided, and don't you try to talk me out of it. Negative people will seek to gather information to support their positions. And they ignore good information and overemphasize the bad information. Listen to the report of the 10 spies. They carried grapes so large, they had to transport them. Listen, just bunches of grapes that were so large, they had to transport them on a pole between two guys to hold them up. That's how large the grape clusters were. A cluster of grapes so large took two men to carry them, but all they could report to the people was, well, it was a land flowing with milk and honey. Nevertheless, that's it right there. It's all good. Everything they said about the promise, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Nevertheless, there are giants in the land, a fierce enemy, walls. They're the sons of Anak. They're Anakins, not from Skywalker, but Anak. They knew every detail of the negative information, but couldn't remember one detail of all the good that they were seeing. That's a negative spirit. You have some people, and they'll give her their whole life story because a negative spirit has a hold of them. And amazingly, when they tell you their life story, they overlook all the good stuff, and all they do is bring up all the bad stuff. How are you doing? Be careful when you ask that. How are you doing? When I was 3, someone stole my tricycle. When I turned 16, they stole my bicycle. When I turned 21, they stole my girlfriend. Now that I'm 40, they took away my job. Look at the calendar of your life. Surely you had a few good days in there, right? Some good things. Yeah. Wow. I'm amazed. There's a scripture in the book of 2 Kings. It said, our walls and our wells were secure until the slingers surrounded them. It's an interesting statement, slingers. And I thought, what are those, slingers? Well, when someone would come, a group of people would come to invade another country or a tribe, they would, of course, come with armament, but then they would have the slingers with them. The slingers were the people they were assigned to go collect the biggest boulders and rocks they could find and all the dirt they could accumulate and throw them down the wells of the people they were trying to defeat and stop up their water supply so that their herds couldn't drink and the people wouldn't have any water to drink and thus put a great, great pressure on the people they were trying to destroy. And I thought about that. Wow, slingers. You can identify slingers. They're always trying to stop up your well. Always got some boulder to push down the well to stop the flow going in the right direction. Be careful of being around slingers. It reminds me of that story, you know, when you fight with pigs, you're always going to get dirty. You can't help from getting dirty. And besides that, pigs never lose, and they delight in the fight. So you don't want to hang around with that kind of slinger because you're going to get mud all over you. You're going to get dirt from them. It's going to cling to you. And we have to be very careful, the scripture says, to guard our thoughts because our thoughts become actions. And our actions start defining what our character is like, and our character will affect our destiny, whether it be a good one or a negative one. Right? Look at the calendar of your life. But a negative spirit overemphasizes the obstacles. But be thankful unto him. You've got more to praise him for than you have to gripe about. So give him more praise. Amen? Let's break the spirit of negativism. We should be different than the culture. We should have, coming out of us, a spirit of hopefulness, a spirit that says, with God's help, we can get through this. We can overcome this. There can be healing. There can be restoration. Break it off of ministry, off of outlook, off of destiny. A spirit of negativism has dared you, and it says to you, you do that, it's risky. Every time I've stepped out doing something innovative for God, I've heard that voice whisper, that's risky. You remember brother so-and-so did that, and now they're feeding him under a door, okay? You better calm down. That's risky. Jesus was risky. Thank God the Father was risky when he created us, knowing we could go sideways, and we did. He still risked all of that love so he could bring us back home. Rejoice in the Lord. Stop acting sophisticated. Rejoice in the goodness of God. The fog is clearing. You can enter the promised land. Negativity is lifting by the help of God. God looked down and he got so angry after all he has done to help those people come out of that mess. He didn't look down and call the report of the 10. Well, that was well thought out. You gave me a very detailed report, thank you. He wasn't diplomatic. He wasn't going to try to give them a halfway compliment. It was deep. That was a deep report. Thank you for the deep report. That was a factual report. Yes, you assessed it factually. No, he didn't give them any of those accolades. Do you remember what he called the report? He said, what you presented was evil. It doubted me. It doesn't trust me. So God said, I refuse to allow anyone to walk into their destiny with that attitude. So I will let you walk yourself to death before I allow you to walk into that promised land with that negative, evil spirit attached to you. So listen to me this morning. I love what the word says in Numbers. So they marched until that generation died in the wilderness. Now watch. Do you know how many people died every day in the wilderness over the 40 years that they had to stay out in the wilderness? Because there were about 3 million people out there. That would mean daily 100 deaths. Moses had to preach 100 funerals a day because of the negative spirit. God said, I will let the negative spirit die off and then allow those who believe me to enter. I wonder what promised lands people have missed because of a negative spirit. Well, if God wants me to happen, if God wants me to acquire, if God wants me to get, not so. Not so. God saw something in Caleb. We play a role in this. We have to cooperate with what God says. We've got to get on his team, one with a better spirit. But my servant Caleb had a different attitude than the others have. He has remained loyal to me, so I will bring him into the land he explored. His descendants will possess their full share of that land. That's amazing blessing for you and your family when you stay loyal to the Lord. 10 spies had a spirit and they talked it out. He had another spirit and he talked it. And then the people had to choose. A negative spirit? We choose to acquire that. God didn't give that to us. No, we chose it. Faith, trust, belief that what God says he will perform, we choose that. We get to choose the negative spirit or Caleb's another spirit, right? A different attitude. It's not up to God. We get to choose. God's already made his declaration. We get to choose. Caleb and his children got to possess that promised land. And when he gets finally at the end of a 40-year trek, he acquires that picture of that mountain that was promised to him 40 years before. And he sees it. He's now well into his 80s. And he looks at this and says, give it to me. That was promised to me and my kids and my kids' kids. And they said, well, Caleb, there's giants living. Here we go again. There's giants living up there. He said, I could care less about giants. Give me that mountain. And guess what he did? At 80-some years old, he climbs that mountain with his family, and he takes out the giants, clears them off the mountain, says, this is my land. God promised it to me. I'm taking it. And he took it, and God gave it to him because that man had a different attitude, a different attitude. What the master is saying to us, shake off a negative spirit and acquire another spirit. Don't allow the spirit of the world, the negativism of this society, to contaminate and attach itself because it will damage your whole family. It has impact on generations. Lord says, I'm with you. And if I go before you, no enemy can stand against you. The scripture is so clear about this kind of thing. If God is for us, who can ever be against us? And since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else that we need? The scripture says, Paul writes to the church, encourage each other and build each other up just as you're already doing. Keep building one another. And then he says, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So, what should distinguish us in a culture full of negativism? And by the way, if there ever was a culture that needed to shed negativism, it's the one we're in right now. We've got more to be thankful for in the United States of America than any other people on the planet. We've got so many blessings, we can't count them. We throw away more stuff than people in a day, than some people can get their fingers on in a year. We have the highest standard of living of any culture on the planet. We are blessed beyond words. And so we need to teach the culture around us to have grateful hearts because we possess them. And we have hopeful hearts because we trust in the Lord. No matter what crazy people are running for office in some categories and saying things that you shake your head at and go, our fathers would take you out to the back 40 if you said that in front of them. Yeah, because our forefathers wouldn't have any of that stuff. They lived under tyranny and they weren't about to allow it to come back. Okay. So, friends, let's display, express another spirit, a different attitude. We've got so many things to thank God for. And if God never did one more thing for me in my life, and he ended it at any time he chose, and he can, I wouldn't have one complaint. Because what I possess is eternal and will never be taken away. I am grateful to God and will be forever. If all he ever did was forgive my sins so I could make it to heaven, I owe him everything. So he's got everything that I have and I am. So let's stand together for a moment and say thank you to the Lord. Come on. Say thank you.